Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have gathered us here today. Help us, Lord, to hear your word, to receive from you the life that you intend for us, and to be strengthened for your service in your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. So as we are heard our lessons today, you don't get too far into the Easter season before you confront fear and doubt and all kinds of questions. And that's certainly in view in our gospel reading. And because it is Easter, it's easy to kind of forget the emotion and depth of everything we experienced in the midst of Holy Week, especially Holy Week in this year was pretty unique, I think, for most of our experiences. And, encountering the suffering of Jesus and Jesus' passion and his confronting death and everything that he did on the cross for us, and even the reality of his death and being buried, it's easy to kind of leave that behind because, well, he's raised now. I want us to hold on to some memory of that as we continue to reflect on the resurrection of Jesus and on what he has to say to us in John chapter 20. And so as we keep that in mind, let's remember then that on this Easter Sunday that Jesus' disciples are, even after the resurrection, are just kind of like, they're confronting fear of death. They're hiding, they're locked away, and the doors are locked because of their fear of the Jewish leaders. They are afraid that their fate is going to be the fate of Jesus that they saw a few days earlier on the cross. And Jesus appears to them, he stands among them, he says, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And there's this reality that, they're faced with the real possibility of death. They are confronting the reality that there is opposition to Jesus. There's opposition to the message that they have been involved in, the ministry that they have been involved in. And following Jesus may well lead to their own death. And they're not ready for that. And despite all their words to the contrary in the week before, they were not ready to go with their master even to death. And so they're hiding and they're in fear. And Jesus in his resurrection glory appears. That no locked door or walls apparently can stop him from appearing in their midst. And so Jesus appears and speaks his peace over them. And when he shows them his hands and his side, he shows them the marks of his suffering. And the disciples were overjoyed when they see him, when they recognize who he is. And so Jesus comes into the midst of their fear of death, in the midst of their concern, and speaks his peace and turns their fear into joy. He turns their fear into joy. And that joy, I think it's important to notice, that doesn't come just because they've heard the peace that Jesus has spoken. It comes because they've seen the marks of his suffering in his hands and his side. They see the evidence of the cross. They've seen that he has gone to death and that he is alive again. And in seeing that, their fear is transformed. It's actually looking back on his suffering that they find strength in. And so, Jesus again speaks his word, "Peace be with you." It's almost as if they weren't really in the right place emotionally to hear it the first time. So he says it yet again, "Peace be with you." And he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And I've been reflecting on this a lot, just especially because the daily office readings for morning prayer have been in the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark just has this whole thing that Jesus has this very focused agenda that he was sent to proclaim the kingdom of God, sent to proclaim repentance and to preach good news. And it's just this laser sharp focus on what Jesus was sent to do. And so even having that in mind, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. is, I think, very good news for us, because he's speaking his peace, he's speaking this word, and he's saying there's a mission to attend to now. And that mission is focused on the kingdom of God. That mission is focused on announcing God's kingdom is coming, on repentance, on good news, which is absolutely needed. You know, the disciples themselves needed that good news only moments before, when they were in fear and locked behind the doors. And it was all the fear of death. Jesus begins right here with his disciples to deliver them from the fear of death, to deliver them from all of their concerns about what was going to happen. And he shows up to do that, and now he's going to send them out for that same purpose. We are in a season now where the fear of death is something that for many Americans they're encountering for the first time. A lot of Americans have been able to distance themselves from death, and they've been able to stay away from, you know, any real sense that death is something that can be up close and personal. You know, we've managed to sanitize it and contain it and keep it far away, dress it up as much as we can. But this season with the pandemic brings it right to home. A lot of us are homebound or working, taking precautions when we go out in public. The fear of death is all around us. You know, even the fear of sickness is all around us, because there's so much uncertainty, and it's a new experience for many of us. But in the midst of that, you know, it's important to remember that the resurrection of Jesus is intended to be a deliverance from the fear of death for each and every one of us. And that is not, that's not always front and center for us. But it is real. And that Jesus comes into the midst of our concerns, our doubts, our fears, and he speaks his peace. And it's not always going to be a word that we hear, especially when that fear and that doubt can be so strong. But the invitation is to see the marks on his hands, see the wound in his side, see the reality of Jesus suffering for you and for me. His death on the cross for you and for me is by it leaning into that suffering, by seeing what he has done, and then seeing the reality of resurrection, we can have that fear turn to joy. Even in all the circumstances. I mean, notice the disciples haven't left the room. They're still behind locked doors. They're still in this room hiding. But their fear is being transformed into joy. And so, you know, that in the midst of that, being sent out for and from that place is the invitation. And even if you have joy, it's like that's not enough to run on. Joy can die very quickly, especially when you get right in the face of reality and you come face to face with everything that's going on. Joy can go away very quickly. But Jesus breathes on his disciples, which is maybe an idea that right now we're not really comfortable with. You know, we'd rather have the mask. Like, Jesus, this is not good social distancing. But there's no pandemic at the moment. So Jesus breathes on his disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And I want to stop there for a moment, because John has this strange thing where he's just obsessed with Genesis. You know, if you go back to the beginning of John's gospel, you know, you get this whole vision of creation and the Spirit of God, you know, the Word making the whole world and, you know, being God and everything. Here we have Jesus breathing on his disciples, which brings us back to the creation when human beings were made, and God breathes into the man the breath of life, and he becomes a living being. He becomes a living creature. And then when God does that, he gives the man his mission. He gives him his call to go into the world and to operate in the authority that God has entrusted to him. And so Jesus now, breathing on his disciples, on his friends, is pouring out the breath of God, the Spirit of God, into them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, you're receiving your mission. You're receiving your call to go out into the world, to walk in the authority that you've been entrusted with. And that authority is very specific here. It says in verse 23, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So, you know, God brought all the animals to the man to see what he would name them, to see what word he'd speak over them. But here Jesus says, gives his disciples a different word to speak over people. He gives them a word to speak forgiveness over people, to announce the release from sin, to announce release from guilt, to announce release from shame, and from, again, from the fear of death. Jesus entrusts that message and that word to his disciples. He gives them the authority to announce God's forgiving word over the whole world, really. And so so what does that mean for us? I mean, we could lean into looking at Thomas's encounter, and we could look at, you know, the purpose of John's gospel that Bishop John pointed out a few minutes ago. But I want us to sit with this of what we are being entrusted with, what Jesus' disciples have been entrusted with here, that that Jesus has come into the midst of their fear, legitimate fear, legitimate concern, and he has transformed it into joy. And then he's given them a commission. He has given them a call to go out and to be sent, even as he was sent by the Father, to announce the kingdom and to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. And then he empowers them for that mission. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them. So for us, living in a culture now surrounded by the fear of death, we have a call from our Savior to hear his word, to hear, peace be with you. That is what Jesus speaks over you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And he's going to empower us for that, friends. He offers and he breathes the Spirit of God on us, and so that we can receive his Spirit and to speak the word of God, to speak that word that brings forgiveness, to speak that word that brings life, to speak that word that can name something new in creation, instead, so that people are no longer stuck as sinners, as dead, as darkness, but can instead be brought into forgiven and righteousness and life and light in the Lord. That's the invitation for us. And as we discern how we are speaking, you know, this is the word we're entrusted with. It's based on the promises of God and on the work that God has done in Christ. This is the word that your neighbors, my neighbors, they need it. Our family members, they need it. Our social media connections, they need it. And so I invite us to consider, to pray, ask the Lord, who needs to have that word of life? Who needs to have forgiveness spoken over them? Who needs to hear that invitation to repentance so that they can be brought out of their fear of death and encounter the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ? And that is what, and that is for all of us, friends. All of us have that opportunity and that commission, and all of us have that empowerment from the Lord to speak that. And that's your call as those who have been brought into the Church of Christ. And so let's do that. Yeah. And it's okay to acknowledge, I think, to begin with that with ourselves, where we're at, locked behind closed doors, And to invite the Lord into the spaces where our fear and doubt are real, and to let him speak. And as he does that, you will be empowered to do and to speak that for others. So Father, would you come wherever we are, in our homes, in life, would you bring your peace, speak your word of peace, open our ears and our hearts to hear that word, so that our fears and doubts can be cast out. Lord, your perfect love can cast out fear. And as you do that, Lord, would you fill us with your spirit so that we can speak a word of life, to speak a word of forgiveness and grace to a world that is so deeply in bondage to sin and death right now. Lord, you can bring new life and new life and a new world and a new creation. So, Lord, do that. Do that so that people can be set free. In Christ's name, amen.